Viewer discretion is advised.
All you losers out there, shut up and pay attention because I got a lot to talk about. But first I want to say to all the women out there, stop crying, stop worrying. The prince has recovered. I'm still looking good. I'm still pretty, baby. Brooke Shields still ain't got nothing on this, baby. Now, as far as those individuals responsible, Boogaloo Brown, you're nothing but a little jive talking spider monkey, running around mad at the world because President Botha won't give your idiot race South Africa. Why don't you grow up, Brown, and do something you're qualified for, like shining shoes? Despina Mantaggas, the Greek bull dyke, the last time she was with a man, she was one. As far as I'm concerned, you got a she-freak over here. You got some idiot over here who thinks he's Desmond Tutu from Harlan. And together, these two psychos viciously and without any reason attack me. They split my head open. They attack my bodyguard. They attack my number one lady, Charlie Haynes. And does the WCW do a damn thing about it? Hell no. They pat him on the back, tell him they did good. And then they have the nerve and the audacity to ban my bodyguard. What the hell is the conspiracy all about? Is it because we're so much better looking than all these bimbos out there? But you know, it really doesn't matter, because I'll tell you why. The payback is coming, baby, and the payback is going to be hell, and it's going to be one big surprise. And I'm talking all these bitches. They all can bring it on. And I'm talking about Mantagas, Donkey Face, Candy Divine, the Ace of Spades, Princess Jasmine, Robin Jailbait Lane. Y'all can come to me, and you're all going to fall. And as far as you're concerned, Debbie Combs, you're a 2-bit 35-cent champion with a body and IQ to match it. And you might as well give it up, sweetie, and go back to the hills and sip moonshine with that Valium-addicted alcoholic mother of yours. Because Charlie Haynes and the Prince are going to take the world championship, because I do everything very good, if you know what I mean.
Slam with Matt and Nate on Baby All In
more
Blow.
Energy. More energy.
Dig through the ditches and burn through the witches. I didn't get a chance to rewrite that part.
Yeah.
But then I like, slam with Nate and Matt to Baby All In Blow. Something along those lines.
I'd like to slam with some people.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool song. It's me, the birthday guy, Big Time Matt O. Just celebrated one. Good
so
time.
Exciting.
With my buddy.
So many great times.
You're going to be Alan Martin.
Uh-huh.
To my, I want to say it's Bob Riddle he's been tagging with.
Really, yep. Starting to develop some,
yep,
chemistry.
Yep.
I mean, they're not winning any matches or coming close, yeah, to it, but I could just tell that, like, there's a romantic spark,
yeah,
there.
Well, hell yeah.
While they're,
yeah,
standing on the apron watching the other one, yeah, get the shit beat out of them.
You so, are the Nate Adams. Say hi.
It's working out good for them. Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
There you go.
It's so good to be here again on Baby Oil and Blow.
Baby Oil and Blow.
There was a time there where I questioned if we were ever going to be able to get back into it again, but I felt like that little break we took, yeah, last week talking about movies,
yep,
rejuvenated me. I was able,
absolutely,
to get into some professional wrestling watching again this week, and, you know, same old, same old.
You know what helped us a little bit, too?
Stuck here in this WCW thing, but it wasn't so bad for me.
After two hard nights of drinking,
mm-hmm,
we finished it off the way we would have back when we almost gave a shit about wrestling. We just sat there, watched some Seinfeld, ate some Frito-Lay's product.
Very true.
And drank some Miller Lights.
Those Airbnb hosts were, yeah, very, very generous with the free Miller Lights and Frito-Lay products.
Yeah.
So,
and we just kind of eased right into that and was just kind of like, yeah, weekend's over now.
And then the next day,
back to wrestling.
It's just like, oh, I'm too sick to move. Good thing I have that wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
Now I literally can't, you know, come up with any excuses to get out of it.
Yeah, you felt that way too, huh?
Mm. So that kind of got a lot done yesterday. I did a lot of yard work and stuff.
I dragged my ass to Illinois for a Mother's Day celebration.
Oh, yeah. I talked to my mother and was like, hey, it's Mother's Day. And I was like, you want to, like, get together or something? And she was like, no.
No, leave me alone.
I don't.
Yeah. I cut the grass today.
I got stuff going on at home and I don't want to have to go anywhere.
No.
And I was like, okay. All right.
I should have done it yesterday. Today it was like 88 and sweltering.
Oh, it was nice.
I felt like I did shit after.
Drug a yoga mat outside. I was real loose. So like, an hour into that stuff.
I was cutting my grass twice.
Just sweaty and tanned, you know.
I was sweating.
Muscles loosened up. All the neighbor ladies were
tense from pushing a
drinking
lawnmower.
Diet Cokes and looking at me.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Diet Coke break. Diet Coke break.
I just had ambulances and fire trucks driving past me.
Oh, because you had one of those heart attacks?
Yeah.
This Pat and Matto tried to do work outside the heart
just
attacks.
Kept calling. And this guy is hurting. I was just laying down on the sidewalk. So what? Summer nights.
The 90s. Oh, got a lot of memories from that decade.
Yeah.
None of them good.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a current decade, one we're in.
Mm-hmm.
We got big Baby Oil and Blow modern day wrestling news.
Okay. Ease me into it.
First of all, big news of the weekend, All In. Going to be in Chicago.
Okay. Well, it's going to be in Hoffman Estates. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. What's happening here. If you're flying in for the event.
Yeah, you're not going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, you're not seeing any of
that big city right there.
No.
You're going to see
a lot of freeways and chain restaurants. That's what you're going to see.
But you're going to see those at the Sears Center.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably catch a little bit of that Bound for Glory residual traffic.
Yeah, just a lot of people still trying to get out of that parking lot from that TNA Bound
for Glory. There was a real nice, what was that, Gander Mountain across the street? Or one of them hillbilly fish and hunt shops?
I think it's a Cabela's, maybe. I think it's a full-on Cabela's. So, yeah, you could walk across the parking lot to that, maybe.
We had time to kill.
Some time to kill before the event. Yeah, before that TNA Bound for Glory, like 7 years ago or whatever.
The best one. We saw the best one that they ever did.
Oh, yeah, it's legendary. People always talk about those TNA pay-per-views and that one especially.
But All In, it's a big deal.
I remember...
They're making a big deal out of it.
At some point during that TNA Bound for Glory, their biggest pay-per-view of the year, we got up and moved somewhere else. I forget why, but I don't know. Like, we were just like, oh, let's go sit over here. Yeah, that's the point. We could, because there was plenty of open seats in that arena when TNA was running it years ago.
And there was nobody to stop us.
Not this time.
Oh, you didn't pay for those tickets.
Not this time, buddy. When I hear those Young Bucks and that Cody Redacted. Don't say his last name.
Oh.
You get sued if you do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Those people sold that thing out, huh?
They sold it out yesterday. Day of the event.
They got a lot of people interested in
Sold it out.
Goofy style of comedy wrestling.
They're teasing.
But they're planning all the spots where like 16 people super kick each other at the same time right now.
Hell yeah.
We do like big chains where we all have each other in headlocks. And it's like 12 guys have each other in a headlock at the same time.
Waka waka.
Fucking Yakety Sax plays, and then all the virgins in the audience, 10,000 plus, they chant whatever the little chant is they're doing this month. They got a lot of chants these days.
I used to like the guy, but if Joey Ryan shows up dick wrestling people...
Oh, man. Joey Ryan, no thank you.
Just kills your integrity.
Guys' matches are unwatchable.
The one thing I liked coming out of it was they teased a little Nick Aldis, American Nightmare, Cody Redacted.
Uh-huh.
For the 10 pounds
NWA,
of gold.
NWA, 10 pounds of gold. The belt his father won.
What was his father's name?
That's a Bullet of Wood. His daddy.
What was his daddy's name?
Daddy, the Bullet of the Wood, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, so then his name is Cody.
No, his... Shut up, man.
You're
getting people in trouble here.
You're going to have to bleep that out.
Either way, yeah, I feel like... Putting that belt on Cody, he'll feel pretty good. It'll be like, you know, a new generation of Southern wrestlers.
Make it a real belt again?
And then, I don't know, maybe like you have Cody defend it for like 6 or 7 months, and then you try to actually put on a show? What's the plan here with this NWA thing, Billy Corgan? That's what I'm saying.
They wrestle in
Hollywood
every little bit. Once in a while, you know?
Whatever.
Look, he's coming
having matches on other people's shows.
He's coming to Chicago to wrestle at Marion with Space Hog and I,
at some point, you have to... Part of your business plan has to be a thing where people pay money to you. That hasn't seemed to have happened yet after this whole NWA.
He's working on it, man. He's working on it.
Is he really?
But hey.
I haven't heard anything about him working on it.
That's not even the big news of the week.
Yeah, big news of the week is fucking Smashing Pumpkins album. There's a new one.
Is there one?
No, I don't think so. That would be a lot. That's what people actually want out of you, Billy Corgan. Don't ask me why.
The big, big news.
All downhill after melancholy.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, you're seeing me sit down.
I can't really see the chair. I'm just assuming you are. I just wanted to verify. Don't gotta be a jerk. Wait, about
this
it.
You can't sneak in like multiple modern day wrestling.
Well,
segments.
This is the biggest news of the month.
You should have led with it then.
Nope. You finish it up with it. John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's open to the idea of having kids, and he wants to get back with Nikki Bella.
Okay, I'm definitely not spending any time here.
What?
Like, promoting Total Divas storylines or whatever. Who cares?
Your prediction, it's coming true.
Who cares?
They're gonna do the whatever the hell the SummerSlam
look, man,
thing was.
The match made in heaven, match made in hell.
Thank you.
Number
it's
two,
gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
Jake the Snake Roberts is coming back.
Jake and Daniel Bryan are gonna come back.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan's gonna turn heel.
Well, he's gonna do that
so he can
weird cloak gimmick again.
Job to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, somebody's got to.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's got to. So yeah, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Yeah.
Bullshit reality show storylines. Who cares?
Well, it's real. It's not bullshit.
John Cena's romantic life. Who cares? It's time to get into a rundown. It's time to get into this wrestling show.
It's a wrestling show.
World Championship Wrestling, February 20th, 1988.
Rundown. Brought to you by...
Oh, yeah. Big movie of this week. I have not been to the theater because we had all your birthday extravaganzas. So I'm going to say brought to you by The Bottom Lounge, where we saw the Smoking Popes play on Saturday.
It was a nice
little
venue.
Instead of, you know,
instead
going to see
of
a movie and then...
The Revengers Xfinity War.
Yeah, that Revengers is making a lot of money.
It's making all the money.
Maybe they should send some of it our way.
It's like the all-in of movies.
Either way, thanks for that check, Bottom Lounge. Yeah, pimping your venue. It's a nice bar. Everybody was very kind to us. Plenty of room to maneuver in that venue.
Gave us all the beers. All the $4 hams on draft you could handle.
I like it when there's a nice bar in a separate room from where the music's happening.
Yeah.
So that if you don't want to be listening to the music at a place, you don't have to.
Yeah.
God bless him for that. First match, the Varsity Club with Kevin Sullivan in Wizard Robe. They're in there versus Max MacGyver and Curtis Thompson, perennial NWA jobbers. We're very used
Curdy
to them.
T.
Steiner taps MacGyver with that arm thing he's been doing. That little, like, mildly unpleasant-looking arm stretch that they're calling a submission move.
Yeah. Don't forget, but he also won while brushing his hand against his face and yelling, brush his teeth! Brush his teeth!
There's a lot of character stuff going on with Rick Steiner here in 1988.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Match number two, Shane Douglas.
Versus my guy.
Our new hot up-and-comer,
no,
Shane
never
Douglas.
Mind that.
Pretty boy babyface in there versus Thunderfoot number two.
My guy.
No, this guy's a piece of shit. Thunderfoot number one's where it's at.
But I told you, Thunderfoot two existed.
Yeah, so that makes him your guy?
Yes.
All right. Jared from Subway, Matt's guy. Bill Cosby, no. Matt's guy.
No, I didn't say any
Wait,
of that.
What?
I didn't say those guys.
Okay. Douglas with belly to belly. Did I say that? Match three. Yeah. Ron Simmons, that big old football player, Hoss, in there versus David Isley.
Third Isley brother.
Simmons does a shoulder tacker off the second rope and puts him away. Finally, a match worth watching. Our boy, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
I'm glad he
in
was,
there with our other boy, George South.
He was, Hot Stuff was missing for a couple weeks, and now
spirited
we've got him like two
little
times
match,
in a row.
Spirit little match. George South does what he can, but he ends up falling to the hot shot.
The hot shot.
Eddie Gilbert wins. Larry Zbyszko versus Trent Knight. Larry wins after a swing neck breaker. That's all I got to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Powers of Pain, the Warlord and the Barbarian, are newly crowned this six-man tag team champions with their boy, Ivan Koloff. They're in there showing off those new titles against jumping old man Mike Jackson.
My guy.
Steve Atkinson. And masked man named the Red Raider.
Ooh, I didn't bing who he was.
I didn't either. Either way, Koloff wins doing that thing they've been doing where he jumps off the top rope and gives an elbow to the guy who's draped over the Warlord's shoulder.
It's pretty cool.
It's a nice little like guillotine death move. It looks like he kills the guy. No,
it's like a spiked elbow to the throat.
Ooh, ouch. More tag action coming up. Arn and Tully. They're in there versus Tony Suber and Larry Stevens.
I tell you what. That Arn and Tully, they're a couple up-and-comers. I'd watch out for them.
They sure are. Up-and-comers in, like, the local beer league from what it looks like. Did you see those guys' beer bellies this week?
Tully looked so fat.
Beer bellies were on. They look like they each drank a six-pack before the match started.
Pigman, baby, pigman.
If I have to hear a
about this pig man one more time.
Hey, I'm telling you, the pig man is alive. The government has been experimenting with pig men since the 50s.
Oh, will you stop? But just because a hospital's conducting DNA research doesn't mean they're creating a race of mutant pig men.
Jerry, will you wake up to reality? It's a military thing. They're probably creating a whole army of pig warriors.
I'll tell you something. I wish there were pigmen. You got a few of these pigmen walking around, suddenly I'm looking a lot better. That way, if someone wanted to fix me up, they could say, hey, at least he's no pigman.
Believe me, there'd be plenty of women going for these pigmen. Whatever the deformity, there's always some group of perverts that's attracted to it. Ooh, that little tail really turns me on.
Either way, they're still athletically inclined, even when inebriated, because Tully wins that slingshot suplex on Stevens. He took those guys out, no problem. Speaking of tag teams, Arn and Tully got some big challengers coming up for those NWA World Tag Team titles. Challengers by the name of Barry Windham and Lex Luger.
Never heard of them.
Showing off their stuff against Barry Collie and Cougar J.
You know I'm a Cougar J, man.
That's my favorite ring name in the business. Luger wins with that human torture rack. Ricky Santana from south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big new face like Shane Douglas, a young guy. They're full of energy.
Somebody
got a lot of hopes for him.
Somebody had to have that 2-minute match to end the show.
He's in there with Keith Steinborn. He wins with a top rope forearm. I think I might have dozed off a little bit during this one, actually.
Oh, that's right, because he didn't have the last 2-minute match.
There's one more.
Shoehorned in
How
one
dare
more.
You? Your boy, this is the Jive Tones.
That's right.
What are their names again?
You got it.
Shasta Watley
and
Tiger Jet Singh. It's Tiger something.
Tiger
Conway Jr. They're in there versus Alan Martin and Bob Riddle. They win with that double Russian leg sweep. They love those double team moves.
Mm-hmm.
That will do it for this week's rundown. Go to the bottom lounge. Drink a hams.
Drink a hams, you bastard.
And then we get into our 5-count here. We're going to dig into this episode of WCW a little bit more, a little bit deeper.
We get our hands dirty, so you don't have to.
Not too deep. We're limiting ourselves to 5 talking points. What's your first one?
My first point is I'd feel awful for anyone that's actually watching these shows along with us.
Why do you say that?
They're so bad.
That's the whole point of what we're doing here. We're reliving the past.
Yeah, no, that's not my point.
Shining the spotlight on the history of this fine business, the sport of kings, professional wrestling.
My first real point of the evening is what takes place in our Shane Douglas versus Thunderfoot 2 match.
Okay.
Second week, we've seen Shane Douglas, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
And
brought him back, said 2 years ago he was the rookie of the year. Now yep. He's coming back to make a name for himself again.
So 2 weeks strong here. Oh, I know.
Maybe like he took one of those hiatuses where he works at Target, I think.
I think he did a hiatus while he took care of those cocaine charges. Probably.
That makes sense.
He
had to go away to his family's country house for a little while.
It's the second week.
Lay low.
Second week in a row with Shane Douglas. And it is the second week in a row where he botches his belly-to-belly suplex finisher.
Hey, man, what are you talking about? Got that guy right over.
Well, the first week, if you remember, he didn't do the move at all. He just kind of lifted him and then just put him straight on the ground and then put him in a submission where he slapped his head a lot because he was mad.
So, yeah, he didn't do a belly-to-belly the first match.
Yeah, because it got effed up.
He fucked up a little float-over reversal is what he was doing. I don't think he was trying to go for a belly-to-belly.
Yeah, they were going for it. And
no
then
way.
This one...
Because he didn't get taught the belly-to-belly until this week.
Yeah.
He didn't even know how to do it then.
And he didn't know how to do it this week either.
He hit him with the belly-to-belly.
He catches him off the ropes and like kind of fake jumps like he's going to throw him. And he's like, nope. I didn't get it. Let's reset this.
Are you?
And then he throws him.
Talking shit about Shane Douglas's belly to belly. The man has put away some of the biggest legends in the business of that belly to belly.
I'm saying, who was the one that was so headstrong, Vince McMahon, like, this is the move he's going to do? Like, never mind the fact that he couldn't do it.
Guessing it's got to be Dusty Rhodes. Listen, they're doing a little storytelling here. I'm going to talk about this. I like this storyline here. They're talking about how Magnum TA is training this kid. Magnum TA has had some problems. He's gotten in an accident. He's not able to get in the ring himself these days. So he's going to take this guy under the wing. It's like a karate movie. He's showing him his secret move.
I guess
this is the first
so.
Time he's tried to do it. He doesn't have it down yet. He's got it down
you.
Enough to put this guy away.
I'm telling you, he tried to do it last week and it didn't work.
Oh, no, there's no way he tried to do
it
last week.
I'm telling you.
It was a submission finish. this week.
He didn't remember how to set up the belly.
He busted it out. He's figuring it out. And the next time we see it, it's going to be smooth, I bet. This guy's going to start tearing through this roster here. I like the storyline. I like the idea of showing guys a new hold, teaching them a new move, and that making them level
teaching
up a little bit.
Craft.
Like, I was like, oh, Shane Douglas, you got a lot of potential. I saw that. A terrible submission finish from last week.
Where you
like,
hit
we need
that
to get
guy's
you,
head because you were mad.
We need to get you a proper finisher, buddy.
You thought he fucked up your belly to belly, even though you did.
Oh, that guy is not reputable. Shane Douglas is one of the most reputable names in this business.
Upstanding
what
gentleman.
He says goes.
Was there any talk about doing a match with you and Shane Douglas in ECW when they did the ECW theme show in TNA?
No. I wouldn't wrestle Shane Douglas for $1 million. Who is he? I mean, let's get serious. Who is Shane Douglas? He's a clerk at Kmart now, or Walmart. Please.
I also want to say Shane Douglas in 1988 has nearly the exact same hairdo that I had in 1988.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Late 80s, early 90s, buzz mullet.
Spike on the top. Like, yeah. Mullet, like hair just a little bit in the back. But I just want to point out,
people might also know that as the Brad from Home Improvement.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that guy, yeah. Early seasons of that.
Oh, yeah.
Brad was doing that. I just want to point out that in 1988, I was 7 years old and Shane Douglas was a grown man. You should have known better, Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
You should have fucking better known better. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about how much I liked that belly to belly. We're on opposite ends of this belly to belly debate.
Execution wasn't there. I just... didn't care for it.
I mean, it's not
Magnum TA's not
a Scott Steiner belly to belly, but
no, few are. My second one is all the Flair versus Sting stuff.
All the Flair stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That
okay,
whole little
all
recap.
Of it.
Well, the recap was nice and stuff, and I enjoyed it. And
we had a big. I'm remembering now. We had a big Flair versus Sting match at one of the local shows or whatever. Sting's,
one of the 30 shows that they've been
promoting.
Sting's
looking like he's going to win. He's got Flair in that Scorpion Deathlock. Flair's screaming and shrieking, and then, Big Horseman interference turns into a schmoz. All
and
the good
all
guys come
the
out.
All the wrestlers are out
all
there.
All the good guys come out and try and help Sting because he's going to get a beatdown. He's looking like he could have won against Ric Flair, the world champion.
Yeah.
And suddenly this kid's looking made. This fucking rookie right here.
Yeah.
He's world champion material.
It's one of the few things WCW does right every once in a while is really make a world title program seem like a big deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They did a good job. We talked
especially in this era when they're actually getting people trying to win the world title, and meanwhile WWF is just like the world title is Hogan's prop.
Right.
It doesn't matter at all.
We've talked about it before.
It's just secondary to Hogan existing.
Where if you really break it down and look at Hogan's card through an entire year, Hogan wrestled 3, maybe 4 programs a year.
Oh yeah. Just
and
the
they
same
just,
guy on
they
the house
just dragged
show.
It out,
over and
dragged
over
it out
and over and over.
Whereas
and over
NWA
and
WCW
over.
Did a really good job of making their world's title feel like a sports
got
championship.
A roster of challengers, yeah. And they're all
people
looking to get a
it.
Shot at
they're
that.
They're all
thing.
Hungry. You know, the champ's never safe.
Meanwhile,
Hogan's everybody's
like, oh, that
Hogan's
fat
best
sat
buddy.
On my
yeah,
chest,
like,
so now I'm fighting him, but he's the only guy I'm fighting for
never
6 months.
Never mind these 30 other
I'll
dudes.
Never be on camera with anybody else.
Right. Whereas, everybody's constantly got Ric Flair's name in their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They'll be wrestling a tag match.
So then Arn Anderson has to let people know, keep Ric Flair's name out of your mouth.
Shut the flip up, pal.
Fucking little young jabronis. I don't know who you think you are coming in here out of nowhere, making challengers. We've been running this territory for 5 years now.
Yeah.
It's probably getting a little old. Maybe we do need some new challengers. All right, guys, come on in.
No, we're good.
Come on in. Talk some shit.
But my real
How
point,
many times can we fight Dusty? How many times?
How many? Ugh.
Answer, it was a dozen at least.
At least. The real thing that brings my attention to this segment is after they show the footage, Stinger comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cutting that promo.
Yeah.
He's got no face paint on, but he's got those sweet wraparound
now
mirrored
we're
shades,
into what
right?
What I want to talk about.
Yeah. And he's just wooing, and he's talking about how he likes to party.
Yeah.
And how
he's
showed
the
him.
Spuds McKenzie
he showed
of the
him
NWA.
How he parties. And he's a party guy, and I don't know.
He's cool as fuck.
To me, he came across like a real Beastie Boy, as JR would true. Say. And what I'm thinking is,
they're going to give him an interview segment called Paul's Boutique.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Every week, just interview guys.
I'm thinking they really missed the opportunity of not just having Sting's gimmick be Ultimate Party Animal.
Ultimate Party Animal would have been a great gimmick. The old ladies love party animals. The little kids love party animals. I don't see why you don't go in that direction.
God, was it making them women moist.
Mm-hmm. But how to just compare? You got two big guys who are back and forth. Who are they going to put the title on? They got to get the title off Flair. Who are they going to do?
Yeah.
It's this guy or it's Luger? It's this guy or it's Luger? And you could just see why Flair wanted to give it on this guy when he was supposed to do Luger first. And it's like, nah, we're not giving it to fucking Luger. Luger's promo, he's just more incoherent fucking hollering.
Yeah.
This guy's getting people legit fired up. They're listening to what he's saying instead of just tuning out.
And he's mad
charisma on the Stinger, man.
Yeah, but he's not really good on the mic. I mean, he's not really...
Yeah, he just, enough energy.
Energy and tone. It's not like what he's saying is all that
interesting. He's got good, I guess, timing, delivery.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of says mundane, like, we're little Stingers.
I came here to party, And everybody's like, I love to party, yes, Sting.
Definitely, but those wraparound mirror shades were
so
fucking cool. He looked great. And during this entire interview segment, too, just like... JR, I think they had like a snakeskin pattern tie and like a matching like snakeskin pocket square. It was
JR
some kind of animal print. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, Fashion Patrol. Like this interview segment right here is to die for.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. That was my number two thing that really poked out at me. JR with animal print matching shit going on his fucking suit. Just got kind of like some pimp gear going right there. Stinger just hollering with those shades on.
Those shades, man.
Instead of the face paint, he can't show his whole face. So
I love it.
Those cool, big-ass 80s fucking... He looked
weird
like he could have played
rounds.
Some beach volleyball like right after this interview.
Oh, he looked like fucking Duke Nukem is what he looked like.
Cool.
Yeah.
He probably shot some pigmen out in the parking lot.
His chest was all hamburger
there
from
was plenty
taking
of
those flare chops.
Pigmen around... the parking lot afterwards at this TV taping.
You hate this.
Pig men and pig women.
Well, I was just going to say.
Southern wrestling fans, not attractive.
So, any word from the pig man?
No.
No. And he's not a pig man, is he?
No, he's not. Just a fat little mental patient.
But how do they... always have so many women in that WCW zone.
Because they had so many jacked up, oiled up men coming out there. And
it's
the boys
weird,
would service the women in the crowds. I've heard Jim Cornette complain about it a million times. He's trying to get Smoky Mountain Wrestling off the ground. And fucking, he brings in the Thrill Seekers, Lance Storm, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Lance Storm, married man. Refused to fuck any of the pigs
gonna.
In the audience.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho thinks he's hot shit and he's too good to have sex with any of the gross fucking Tennessee women.
Yeah.
And he's got to like pull the whole locker room and start screaming at them.
Yeah.
You know, ticket sales are down. We don't have any women in the audience. None of the boys are servicing the women. Like, this is part of the job, guys.
Yeah, you need
part of the job was just fucking ham beasts.
You
like
need
after the events.
Eddie Gilbert. Eddie Gilbert was probably pulling in legit
Eddie
tens.
Eddie Gilbert
though.
Was.
But you know he wasn't
two
afraid.
Or three of them.
You know he wasn't afraid to like.
Oh hell
mix,
no.
Mix like. Low force with tens.
And he was definitely wearing like his jean jacket.
Oh, hell yeah.
While he was plowing them.
Right.
Like for fucking sure.
Yeah.
So one of the first nights I was in there, there's a little amusing anecdote. I'd ridden up with Jeff, and I was a big beer drinker, and he was a big pot smoker. So we're in Morristown or Knoxville, wherever the Super 8 was, I don't remember. So we're in there and sitting around going, well, hey, where are the rats? You know, we're hanging out the hallway looking for rats. So these two chunky chicks come walking up and we get to shooting the shit. And Jeff's like, hey, would you like to smoke some of my fancy tennis leaves? And I'm like, hey, we've got beer. And she shows us in the middle of the hallway, pulls down her pants, and she has Prime Time tattooed on her, shall we say, mound of Venus. So we're like, wow, come on in, ladies. This should be fun. So we hang out and they leave. A little while later, there's a big banging at the door. Jeff goes and looks through the peephole. He goes, holy shit, it's Brian Lee. I'm like, oh, no, what have we done? So Brian Lee comes busting in, and he's like, what you boys doing in here? Smells like Cheech and Chong took a shit in here. What the hell is this? What beer? You got any girls in here? And he's going around, he's pulling back the shower curtain, and he's lifting up the mattresses and shit. He's like, you had girls in here, didn't you? Now, I'm thinking he's wanting to beat our ass for having the girl with the Primetime tattooed on his
Because face. As everyone knows, that was his gimmick, Primetime Brian Lee.
So then he goes, who paid for this shit? And I'm like, yeah, we did. You paid for all them beers? And you paid for that? You paid for that road job, that shit over there in the ashtray? Yeah, we did. So, boys, let me tell you something. If you're going to be around this business and you're going to be in Smoky Mountain, you don't be honeymooning any goddamn rats. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't give up the dick to those bitches until they buy you something. You understand me? Because you see these boots? These are $350 Harley Davidson boots. They still got the tag on them like Minnie Pearl. That bitch bought them for me. You think I gave her the dick? Hell no. Who do you think paid for my room? She did. I still ain't giving up the dick till I get some more money out of her. So unless you want to be dragged off to wrestling court, you're good to wrestler's court. Don't you ever honeymoon the rats. And so then he stormed out. And I was like, man, I think I'm going to like this place. my kind of town.
Like Stinger, like top guy, up and coming. You know he's fucking trying to show off to the audience, or the office. He's letting these guys know he's on board.
What?
He could be pulling models, but he's probably out there just banging these fucking toothless hillbilly girls.
Was he already way into religion back then?
No, nobody was way into religion. Okay. This was the 80s, man. Yeah. People were way into cocaine.
Yeah. Only Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan wore crosses, and that was the... trick more women into sleeping with them.
No, dude, it was like Cruel Intentions. They could unscrew the cross and they had some cocaine inside
Wow.
Yeah, real cool. Kind of cool. Where do you think Sarah Michelle Gellar got that?
I didn't realize that.
Big Dustin Hogan.
That was my mistake.
I want to fuck.
Pretty big mistake.
I got a number 3.
Cool. Mine's not for a while. I'm skimming through a lot of notes looking for what my number 3 was.
It dawned me in the Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert versus George South match.
Uh-huh. Love that match.
I liked how much Eddie Gilbert reminded me of a little bit of like a Kurt Russell character.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, you know? Like a Big Trouble type bluster.
The way he talks, definitely. Like it's very Jack Burton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His
just constantly like stopping his matches to address the commentators too. Yeah. It's good stuff. He's been doing it every week. I love it.
Finding the hard camera to just say some shit while he's got a guy in the hole.
I fucking hate that shit. They don't let during any interview, they don't let the wrestlers look into the camera anymore. But especially Vince and fucking all his cronies or whatever, they don't let them stop and look into the hard camera during matches and talk to the audience. Come on, man. That stuff's great. That's pro wrestling.
That's how you get your shit over, man.
For sure.
You make the people love you or you make them hate you.
It's, I don't know why. Like, I guess they're just trying this whole detached, like, floating camera that doesn't really exist thing so they can act like.
Find the camera, stare at it, and address the people sitting at home why you are so much better than they are.
That's why the whole
transition from Marcus Alexander Bagwell
into Buff Bagwell worked so good, because the first time he came out as Buff Bagwell, he knew to stop the camera, look directly into it, and let the audience know, Buff's got a new mustache.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he does have a new mustache.
Boom.
This guy.
A star is born.
He's a huge star now.
Yeah, because he is Buff. And he is the stuff.
Somebody's got to bring him back. I'm sure he's still got some gas in the tank. Yeah.
I heard he's the short order cook at Steiner's Shoney's.
Oh, no. That's, you know what he's doing legitimately?
No.
Oh, he's a male gigolo. You could go to his website right now.
I did know
and
that.
And order him. Like, he'll show up to your house and fuck you. You can make that happen.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
We could pull that up and just look at that right now.
He'd still take a wrestling date, though.
I bet we can get him to come to like your little brother's birthday party.
Yeah, like just be like, you're a fucking dude, right? Yeah,
sure.
Like, if we get you the money,
that would make
you be like, yeah, okay.
That would make your little brother so uncomfortable if he slowly just, came to realize that Buff Bagwell was expecting to have sex with him.
Right. We didn't get Buff Bagwell to show at his party.
No.
We got Buff Bagwell to show up to have sex with
him. He's going
to
do one of those dancing bear
things. Oh, man.
How much
do you have a price list?
We'll go to the website.
Yeah, we got to start saving now.
I'm too long.
Oh, back to Eddie Gilbert in this match. This match, it sort of clicked to me. Although Eddie Gilbert made it fun by talking to the camera.
And I loved how he was giving Hot Stuff some chances to do, or Hot Stuff, giving George South some chances to do some comebacks because George South is good.
Yeah.
You know, like, give the guy a little. Make this shit interesting. Yeah. We got some time to fill. Let's do a little back and forth.
But this was the match I realized all the rest holds are so bad in this show because there's so many of them. And there's so many of them
time.
Because there's time and there's no real fear of competition.
Yeah, that match before this, the Ron Simmons match, went on way too long. His opponent didn't get in a single like offensive thing on him.
But he'd do a power move.
But the match just kept going and kept going. Submission. And it's like, all right, the guy's done.
Power move?
Go for a pin.
Submission.
In a real fight, you'd be going for a pin right now because the guy's done. But instead, it's clearly just like, oh, we got to hit X amount of time to filler this shit.
Yeah, what are you trying to get the high score here?
No, like, I get the idea of jobbers and how they're just there to, like, you know, put the shine on your fucking star guys so they look a cut above the creeps in the audience, but
none of these guys.
If you got time to fill, you're gonna have to give somebody a little bit of offense.
There you go.
So if you're gonna have to give somebody a little bit of offense, you're gonna have to get some jobbers that look like legit athletes. You can't just bring in fucking schlubs off the construction site, which is half the dudes on this show.
Later on in the Arn and Tully match, they show a little ass for our boy Tony Suber.
Do they?
Yeah. They let Suber get in some muscle shit right at the beginning. Arn actually takes a lot of offense and starts showing a lot of frustrated wrestler
stuff. That's
when
he gets real mad and starts like doing fish hooks
like,
and
God
shit.
God damn it. Like
tearing at his eyes and tearing at his face. Once again, right
and
into the camera.
And it's a nice hook, man.
Yeah. Arn got fucking caught slipping.
Yeah.
Got a little frustrated. Got a little embarrassed.
Or you think.
So then he got mean.
It tells a fucking story. Yeah, they're not going to lose to these guys, but there's these guys. They've been at the top of the game for 5 years. Maybe they're a little tired. Maybe they party too much. Maybe they're starting to lose a step.
Maybe
Who
their
knows?
Bellies are getting pretty
but
big.
Tell a fucking story, man. And so,
once again, right into the camera, he was doing that fish hooking. I'm going to stick the guy's face right in this camera so the audience can see it. I'm just going to tear at his face. Arn Anderson gets it.
So, yeah, too much time. Do a little something
That's
with it.
That's why that George South, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert match of the night, man.
Yeah.
They did a little shit together. It wasn't just move after move after move.
After move.
My number three is just confusion about how many shows they're promoting all at the same time.
Oh, let's see.
I thought that we had a big match at the Omni the night before. But then they went to start promoting the Omni again.
The match at the Omni, yeah.
So then what was the one the night before? Because Dusty's wearing a hat. Flair's wearing a hat. They're all wearing hats because all their fucking heads are cut to shit. They've all got fresh wounds, fresh blade wounds on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened last night must have been a goddamn bloodbath. And
was
I'm not even sure what it was.
I think there was also like two events. There was like
so confusing. They're promoting so much stuff all at once.
There was like the steel cage match, and then there was also like the ladder match.
But then I wasn't sure which ones had been done or which one was still upcoming. Because I thought like, oh yeah, all that shit must have been last night. Because everybody is clearly fucking bladed. Like they all got baseball bats pulled over their fucking head wounds.
Yeah.
But then they're just like, oh no, coming up at the Omni. And I'm like, what?
Wait, you're
last
just
night wasn't the Omni? What was?
But they got. Yeah, they got North Carolina. They got New York coming up. I know they had a Philly show.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did it already. I would assume maybe.
I don't know. You got to cut this stuff into individual markets or
you
whatever
can't.
Somehow. This is a national TV show. Like, you can't market every single stop you're making along the road
like
it's a big thing. Everybody needs to.
I get it. You want them to come out.
It's unsustainable.
But,
that is unsustainable.
You got to pick out like one show for the week or like for the month that you're like building towards.
The concept of the B show. It's very important when you're running this many fucking events. But either way, it gave Flair a nice chance to punch his head wound back open during that screaming promo he
did. After he took off that sweet 1987 world champion Lakers hat.
Signed by whoever.
By like two members of the Lakers.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to take off this nice hat I got signed by those world champions, LA Lakers, because I'm the world champion and world champions roll together. And then I'm just going to once again stare into the camera while I punch my head, make myself bleed all down my face.
But that promo was magic, dude.
It was a fired up Flair promo.
He does, and we've talked about it before, where everybody's naming everybody because there's like 80 programs going because there's 50,000 different shows going on. And if anybody can make it work, it's Flair, and he fucking does. And he runs down everybody, the same names that everybody's been saying all goddamn night. And Flair's like, let me tell you, you got Ric Flair, you got Arn and Tully, the Four Horsemen, you've got Dusty Rhodes, you got Lex Luger, you got... You got the Road Warriors, you got this, you got the Lakers. He names more wrestlers, and then he comes back and he goes, you got the Celtics. What I'm saying is only one of those teams can be champion.
That's right.
And he seamlessly ties it into real world sports to make you understand the significance and the work that goes to a title and why he is the best.
As number four for me, I want to talk about the greatest moment in Davy Crockett history. It's comes... during the Ron Simmons interview.
All right, let me set it up because okay. I genuinely like that interview.
Oh,
don't give away the ending of it because it's amazing. But I got the whole thing as my number five.
Okay, well let's just get into this interview and what it is then.
We'll make a real point at first though. The reason why this interview segment is so damn good, here's the case. And again, we talk about this week after week. There's too many interview segments.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, I'm so mad at this guy. Woo, I'm going to leave now. And then 2 minutes later, the other guy comes out and he's like, well, here's the thing. And that happened
I'm
tonight.
I'm mad at him as well.
Zbyszko comes out earlier.
We just brushed elbows while we were all waiting turns to come out here, though. None of us fought.
Zbyszko comes out earlier with Baby Doll with the whole envelope thing.
Still the storyline I'm most invested in these NWA shows.
And Zbyszko,
what's in that envelope? What did Dusty do that's so perverted?
Zbyszko cuts a pretty good promo.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that, too.
Yeah, he was fired up. He ties it into, politicians.
Call anybody, any old man insults.
No, he got to the point, he's like, there's all these politicians.
No spud heads
thrown in
there.
He's like, we got everybody running for office right now, and they're all dirty, and they all got their scandals, and then when it happens, they're dead in the water.
They got to resign.
Dusty, you're no different. We got you pegged. We got you
dead
to
rights, you pervert.
Yeah, you're just a scumbag.
We got an envelope in here. It's
you're
probably got pictures of your old balls in it.
And then Dusty comes out later and just kind of fucking no-sells the whole
really
thing.
He really no-sells it. Just like, oh, all right, whatever you say.
Whatever. You think I give a fuck?
Anyways,
I'm Dusty Rhodes.
Bull of the woods.
Yeah, bull of the woods.
I'm
going
to have some matches, brother. And it's like,
We're
having a storyline here where we're supposed to care about this envelope. How about you act like you're worried about what's in that envelope?
Yeah,
Big Dust.
Not to mention the fact, a couple weeks later when they first introduced the envelope to him, he sells it
he was
somebody just told him his wife was in a car accident.
Yeah, he left middle of the interview, and now all of a sudden
but
it's
this
like a
time
thing
around, he's just like, I'm over that.
It's been a couple weeks, and you haven't shown anybody, so I'm pretty sure you're just bluffing.
I like the party like Sting does.
Maybe it was just like a picture of Dusty blowing Sting. Maybe that's what Baby Doll's got in there. They just both got so into party and they did some weird David Bowie and Mick Jagger shit.
Yeah, he said they spent 30 days and 30 nights together.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense now.
But anyway, so there's way too many instances of that going on in WCW where it's just like, that doesn't matter because you made it.
I'm not promoting that storyline this week. I'm promoting who I'm fighting at the Omni in 2 days, which is an entirely different person, even though this storyline is still going
on. Or you just had some guy yell about something and then the other guy come out seconds later and yell about the same thing. Why don't you just confront each other if you're really that upset? So here now, Ron Simmons comes out and he's not really being a dick. He's being like, there's a lot of competition and I respect a lot of these people. He's
being real aw shucks and polite.
Right.
He's
even putting over the Horsemen, saying they've been on top of the game for a while.
Nothing to like about this aw shucks baby face. Like, oh, I'm just here happy to compete.
But either way, that's the lane he's taken. And he's
then
like,
things get personal,
everybody,
though.
You know, everybody's, there's some real competitors
in
this company.
He's not
going
to be able to stay all polite and nice right. very long in the NWA because things are about to get personal. Because
here comes Arn doing some semi-racist boy comments.
Semi-racist?
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
okay.
Racist, yeah,
capital
yeah,
yeah. B, capital O, capital Y, boy, period. He calls him boy very pointedly two times. Yeah. That's the main thrust of this interview. He's putting down Ron Simmons in a racial way.
That's racist!
Don't you try to bring yourself into the level we are. We're the horsemen, boy. Blah, blah, blah. Keeps going. And then Simmons, instead of just like walking away like everybody else would in WCW, fires right back at him. He's like, first of all, you know, don't you call me boy.
Damn.
And then he's just going on. And he's like, you don't come out here. You don't interrupt me. Next time you do, you pack a shotgun because you gonna just wind up using it, and walks away. But I mean, like, he delivers it hard too. Like,
much like
almost like the damn line.
Letting Sting get one over on Flair in the ring.
Yeah.
Letting this young guy who's just had like two matches
just be like,
get in Arn's face.
Listen
and spit
here,
back
you
at
old
Arn.
Motherfucker. I will
Suddenly,
break you in two.
He looks like he could be a main eventer. Like, he looks like a legit dude.
Because he says, next time.
The main guys are selling for him.
Next time you do, you pack a shotgun because you're going to just wind up using it. To which Dave Crockett, go ahead.
Ugh, this guy, well, it's as soon as Arn calls him boy, Crockett is so happy. He's just got like, he's like a dog if you like, I don't know, take a roast out of the oven. And the dog's just got the most excited look on his face and he's just following around this roast. As soon as Arn Anderson says something racist, David Crockett's just face lights up with more joy than I've ever seen anybody's. He's like a kid opening up presents on Christmas morning, and he just keeps making those David Crockett once Simmons starts firing back too, and he's gonna get in Arn's face and not take it. And I'm just like, man, and it just dawned on me all at once. I used to hate this guy back when they had him on color commentary and I had to suffer through his. But now that he's just doing this interview stuff and he's just their goofy fucking everybody's dumb little brother.
Yeah.
Man, I'm loving him. And I'm on board with Davy Crockett now. I've come totally. He was so excited to hear Arn Anderson be racist to a big black guy and then see what the big black guy was going to do in retaliation.
And so.
Couldn't have been happier.
So Ron Simmons fires back with, you know, his big finishing line and then walks away. And as soon as he finishes, like, delivering that line, Dave Crockett fires with, whoa! Hey, Arn! He told you!
Just amazing stuff. His joy it just made me feel joy in this segment. I loved it so much. It was my highlight of the whole show, probably.
Yep. That and Eddie Gilbert.
We got anything else to talk about?
Nope.
Do we hit to our ends?
Yeah, I think that was all of it.
Coming up.
What do you got?
We got a three count. It's a pretty big topic this week, so stay tuned.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Pizza Pizza gives it to me in under 30 minutes, or it's free, right?
No.
Quick service, so delicious.
9, 6, 7, 11, 11.
Oh, great price, so nutritious.
Delivery in under 30 minutes.
Or it's free now.
9, 6, 7, 11, 11.
Call Pizza Pizza right away.
30 minutes or free.
Yeah!
Hi, we do have a half pound of corn husks, unsalted.
Gee, I'm sorry, sir, we don't.
Okay, how about some dried alfalfa squares?
Ooh, I'm afraid not. At Tim Hortons, we emphasize freshness and taste. You'll probably love our new oat bran muffins.
Real oat bran?
Uh-huh.
Wow, oat bran is particularly tasty. I'll take a dozen. And then maybe one jelly donut.
New oat bran muffins at your neighborhood Tim Hortons.
I just want to say, my goodness, those were some great advertisements.
Yeah, it was probably the most high-class sponsors we've gotten on the show so far.
Just,
momentum's building week after week. It's a real all-in situation
the
we've
money
built here.
Is coming in,
podcasting
folks.
Is reaching a whole new level. Soon, people are just going to stop making TV shows. They're going to stop making any other forms of media.
Mm-hmm.
All media is going to be a podcast.
I don't even own a TV anymore.
No, I never watch TV.
I don't even watch TV.
I haven't
TV.
Owned a TV for like 10 years.
Anybody that says that,
uh-huh.
Instantly don't trust them.
Now, I guess that's not even a thing anymore. We're talking like old men. Like, I don't think anybody owns TVs anymore. Like, kids just watch shit on their fucking laptops and their phones.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if you go into like college dorm rooms right now,
yeah.
Like, I bet nobody's bothering to, like, take a TV there and, like, put a TV up on the wall.
But for, like, a while, that was, like, a thing, like, the hipster kids would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To let you know, like, that they read books. And it's like, fuck you. You read, like, 5 books in high school.
Yeah, and they were all Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like, get over yourself.
You didn't even finish the last 2.
I tell you what, though. Harry Potter, he'd get on that Quidditch field. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's...
I'm doing it right.
Sure.
He'd get on that Quidditch field and they'd be like, oh, I got to Quidditch you, Harry Potter. And he'd be like, well, I'm Harry Potter. I'm Harry Potter. You can't Quidditch me. And
the Quidditching thing is now. I think that's a thing.
I was doing good.
Okay, wait.
And he'd be like, they'd be like that.
Trying to keep up.
They'd
I'm
say
just
that,
trying to keep up.
They'd say that Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
He's got the moves.
Who said that?
They would.
Which? Like one of the teachers? Which teacher would say it? It's
Professor Brasco.
Oh, is that that character
Professor
that Johnny
D.
Depp
Brasco.
Played?
Yep.
Johnny Depp played in the 4th Harry Potter movie?
Hey, this kid, he's got the moves.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That was one of the best ones.
Yeah.
The fucking 3 count this week. We're doing a big one. This is like a huge, huge topic we're talking about because it's one of the most essential, important things going on in wrestling. And that's talking about guys' fucking signature finisher moves.
Oh, snap.
What they do that nobody else does that wins them all their matches.
You gotta have one.
Good finisher. You could fucking get a world title even though you don't deserve it, like DDP in 1996 WCW. If you got a bad finisher, like, even if you got everything else going on, nobody's going to take you seriously as a performer like Chris Jericho throughout his entire WWE career up until he finally created the Codebreaker. That guy, he couldn't pin anybody or submit them with anything.
Wait, DDP didn't deserve the belt?
Okay, maybe I'm talking a little out of turn there. He had that whole taped up ribs thing going on.
Yeah, you want Davey R. Scheister showing up at your house?
People were pretty into him.
With bleached hair and a vest.
He was like US title fucking level at most. Turns out you live in the same neighborhood as Bischoff and let him poke your wife. You get to carry that big strap around though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That big strap.
It's pretty cool.
Diamond cutter. That's a great finisher. Of the 90s, but we got that
We're
NBA Jam
90s.
Rule. We can only talk up to 1993 at the release of NBA Jam, and
there's
then the bleed over of the 80s stops. We're only talking 80s.
There's a reason I had to leave a move off this little list here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Buff Blockbuster, was that it?
The Blockbuster,
yeah. Good one.
That fucking Seth Rollins is doing as like a...
Buff is the
Who
stuff.
Who cares move?
You can't be degrading Buff's moves because when he comes back to his comeback,
right?
Like people are going to be like, oh, that thing he does is just like a fucking near fall transition move now.
Yeah, that's like the sixth
no,
to last
that's not
move
true.
Seth
as soon
Rollins
as people
does.
See Buff, they'll be super excited.
Hell
and they'll
yeah.
accept him when it matches yeah. with it.
When he takes fucking Rollins' head clean off his shoulders with it.
Or Rollins accidentally injures Buff 2 seconds into the match because he injures fucking everybody and then Buff's glorious career is... cut short, tragically
oh, wow.
short.
Oh, wow.
And he has to go back to gigoloing again.
Mrs. Buff Bagwell. She's like, Vince.
You're writing that on notebook paper
Vince
over and over again? Is that going to be your new name?
No, you can't remember when like his mom was like, he can't wrestle the match.
I heard all those stories. That's pretty weird.
They made her a thing.
Pretty weird stories. That guy's mom called him off work.
But that's not...
when he worked for Vince fucking McMahon.
Listen to your mother, Lisa. I owe everything I have to my mother's watchful eye and swift hand. Oh, there's mother now. Watching me. What's that, mother? Well, they have a right to be here. It's school business. Mother, that sailor suit doesn't fit anymore.
I think we should go.
Well, I like him, but
it's
that's
a good way to get yourself fired.
It's not who we're here to talk about.
Nope, we're here to talk about finishing moves. Three of them.
I would
Our
like
top three.
I would like to start it out by talking about a guy that knows Buff Bagwell very well.
Oh, okay. Too Cold Scorpio.
That's him.
Did a lot of tag work with young Marcus Alexander Bagwell back in 1992, from what I remember.
I'm not talking about WCW Saturday Night.
Okay.
I'm talking about a guy that was, he was wearing black and white for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
With a buff Bagwell.
Does he hate fat people?
No, that's a different guy that also, that guy wore black and silver too.
Yeah.
Ooh. Basically, everybody wore black and white, so this really isn't narrowing
it
down.
Yeah, late 90s WCW, somebody wearing black and white, don't know what you're talking
about.
But
I'm talking about
a guy.
Could
be literally anybody.
You know, he was there through the 90s, but he was also there through the late 80s, too.
All right.
And he had a great move, and he came on the scene as a shitty heel, real strong and young, joined a certain team, didn't need his help.
All right.
But they got his help.
Okay.
And he had a little move that he'd do to torture his opponents.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about Lex Luger and that torture rack.
Yeah, the human torture rack.
Yeah.
Probably one of the coolest names for a move ever.
A lot of why it goes on my list is because how often was I trying to do it to people I know as a child? And I'm going to tell you.
That's also something that factored in pretty heavily when I was going through this list trying to make it.
As soon as I was strong enough to get Davey Arshyster onto my shoulders.
That must have been hell for him.
He was eating these day in, day out.
With his asthma.
Just
and
getting
you're picking
stretched.
Him up, shaking him around.
Just getting stretched up there, man.
Son of a bitch.
And how, like, you get one of your friends, they weren't paying attention. You just scoop them up. I fell victim to one of these several months ago at the bar. You were there.
I remember it happening in the middle of the bar.
A buddy of ours, old Bullets the Barber.
That's right.
He knows not much about wrestling, but he knows the torture rack, and he knows how great it is. You just gravitate towards it, man.
It's very strange. Like, who's your favorite guy that's used the torture rack other than Luger? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
no,
how long
has
it been since Luger hasn't been wrestling? Nobody else is using this move.
No.
It's a solid over finisher that beat top guys for, like, years and years on national TV in the biggest promotions.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't any of these big fucking jacked up dudes, like, back when you debuted a Brock Lesnar or something all the way back in the day, like, why wasn't this guy fucking throwing somebody up in a torture rack? And there's got to be some reason that, I don't know. Maybe just like Vince doesn't like the way that move films or something.
Out of the respect to
if you're an indie
Queen
guy
Elizabeth.
Though and you got muscles, like get that torture rack in your repertoire, dude.
Or why isn't like a Brian Cage whipping that
Cage
out
would
like
be perfect right
halfway
now,
into a match?
Start beating people with the torture rack.
Yeah.
I like that move. I'm gonna email that to Brian Cage.
Good
I'm gonna
idea.
Climb up in his DMs and I'm gonna be like, Bruh. Human torture rack, bring it back. It's a dead move, man.
You seen your traps,
let it
bro?
Rot. I've seen his traps. They look so good.
Just put them up there, man.
My number three, guy who liked to hang out with your guy a lot, just up and down the roads together, traveling.
Couple road dogs
throwing on mirror shades, being wild party animals. I'm talking about Lex Luger's longtime best friend, the Stinger,
Billy Windham. Oh no, yeah.
His finishing move, the Scorpion Deathlock, which along with the Human Torture Rack is one of the coolest names for a finisher ever.
Oh, yeah.
The Scorpion Deathlock. First move I ever, like, wore out of VHS, pausing and playing again.
Gotta get every step of it right, man.
All the steps so I could put that on people. And then after that, I was just slapping the Deathlock on people over and over again. He even like looks like a little bit like that guy's on the ground. Kind of looks like a scorpion's tail a little bit.
Yeah.
On top of him.
Absolutely.
Just a perfect name for it. I'm sure some dude in Japan invented it or whatever. I'm not going to fucking bing that. But
no,
in
Bret
my mind,
Hart and his dad invented
in
it.
In my mind, Stinger was the first guy to do it on a big TV show in the U.S. Stinger invented it. Bret Hart calling it the sharpshooter. He did more with it as far as like finding creative ways to get into it, or like milking the drama of whether they were going to tap or not. But I like the Deathlok better as a name. Sting introduced it to me. Sting was my main guy when I was a little kid, so I'd be slapping this on everybody. My mind, that Sting's
move.
You
had similar hairs.
I have very similar hair.
You had more of a Shane Douglas mullet, but, whereas he had the tail. But yeah, yeah, either way.
If I would have just
way.
Like trimmed that mullet down into a tail, I could have looked a lot like the Stinger. And Bret Hart, you're nothing. Sting invented that move, and you're just a pretender to the throne.
You're pretty ripped now. You ever think about just maybe going for that Stinger look now?
Yeah, I think about it all the time.
You'd probably look pretty cool this summer doing that.
I also think about painting my face every day. Just my mom says I'm not allowed to.
I collect pictures of cakes that I clip out of the magazines. It all started in 1941, when Good Housekeeping featured a photo of a lovely cake.
You wouldn't happen to have any real cakes around here, would you?
Oh my, no. I don't care for cake. Too sweet. Now, this is called a Lady Baltimore cake. At my age, I don't have much saliva left, so you'll have to lick my thumb before I can turn the page.
Oh, can I just turn the page for you?
No, but you can pick out any picture you want to take home with you.
Okay, that one.
No! Ow! You can't have that one! That's a coconut cake!
Lose the beard. Okay. Just trim that long hair into the old spike tail.
This is a plan.
And we can get you those wraparounds.
Are you good at bleaching hair?
You kidding me?
All right.
One of the best I know.
This is perfect. I don't even need to go to a...
You don't even... Yeah, you don't got to go to like a fancy Borix. Borix. No,
yeah, no.
You don't have to.
And do that all right on my back porch.
Oh, absolutely. Let me take a sip of this here.
Okay.
Hold on. It helps me get my thoughts together.
How was it?
It was delicious. We had 18th Street earlier. Right now we got the Off Square Long Day IPA.
We're going hyper-local with our beer choices this week.
So
a lot of good breweries popping up around.
Back to what we talked about, where I need to be able to do this to somebody I know.
Let's cut to the quick. You're doing these all to Dave, pretty much.
Well, yeah. But Ted, too. Ted took a lot of them. I fancied myself as a submissions expert. Probably the first move that I ever stopped to figure out was the figure four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't include it on the list because I can't include
that one's
like,
dangerous to do though, because if they can flip you over,
right,
in that,
yeah, that's
suddenly all the pressure's on your leg and you've
you're playing with fire,
put yourself
you're playing with fire
into a finishing hold.
But
so I tried to stay away from it,
much like Ric Flair. I considered myself a master of the lock, so I didn't feel worried doing it.
Good. Yeah,
but if for the sake of this
take
list,
calculated
you
risks
know I
to
just
get anywhere in the world,
I can't do Flair moves, Flair pretty much anything on any list, because it goes without saying, like, Flair is always top of the
list. And
also,
that's the Miz's move now.
Yeah,
so
that's the Miz's move now. He gave it to him. But there's another very devastating submission hold.
Okay.
I mean, we talked the torture rack, but that, there's power
so
that goes with that.
So far, we're doing all submission holds.
There's power that goes with that. But there's another little move that you could just slap on any of your friends, just kind of sneak up
behind
them.
Even the fat
him.
Kid down the street?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Perfect.
As
I'm
long as he wasn't
that.
Too tall, you get him up there, you sneak your one arm through, you pull his other arm across his fat neck.
I'm talking
a little million-dollar dream slash cobra clutch, cobra whatever clutch. You want to call it, man.
Fucking Slaughter's prime was a little bit before my time. I only caught that shit like later on,
right.
Going back. So
we came back later with
in
it.
In my mind,
it's the million dollar dream, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Like, that's how I know it as well. Like
carrying
I said,
around Monopoly money so you can stuff it in people's mouth on the playground.
After
you
put
that
choked
million dollar
them out.
Dream on
them.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Keep that for later, chump.
Good move, and I got to start doing it to more people nowadays.
It's a solid move. Yeah, it's one of those make your opponent pass out type things. So like,
and the like
Ted DiBiase could do it to these big jacked up guys, looked more fierce than him, and it was just the way he was out wrestling them. He was using his brain
a little smarter than you
cut
are,
them
Hoss.
Down. You can't breathe. It doesn't matter how strong you are, dickhead.
And there's something extra bad guy, salty, great about it, where you use their arm to help choke them out.
It's the why you hitting yourself principle.
Yeah, there's absolutely
a little insult to injury going on there. Number two.
Yeah, what do you got?
Stepping out of the realm of the submission move, and I'm going a high flying move.
Ooh.
Something off that top rope.
Ooh.
In my mind, the most devastating move still anybody's done off a top rope. I don't care how many twists, how many flips or whatever you add to the shit you're doing. The top rope elbow drop as delivered by one Macho Man, Randy Savage.
That's fair.
It's cool because you can do this thing real well to people like in a living room when you're a little kid.
Absolutely.
Like you stand up on the arm of the couch. You got them down, jumping right off that couch and dropping it on them. I really like all the pageantry that went into the mannerisms Macho do. He'd get up there, he'd raise his arms, he'd really milk it, spin his little finger around. You knew it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And that fat kid down the street, I'm needing to put the $1 million dream on to get him off me. Like, that guy, when he knocks the wind out of you just throwing his fat body around, like, you get the wind knocked out of you, you can't move for a few seconds.
Nope.
So this move always made sense to me when I was a kid, because he's coming straight down on the sternum with that elbow.
Yeah.
He's knocking the wind out of the opponent. It gives you like a good 3 seconds where you're not going to be able to move. You can't breathe, and he can pin you. And you could, it's one of those actionable things. Like, you can slap the figure four on people and be like, oh, shit, that actually hurts.
Yeah.
You can knock the wind out of somebody with the elbow drop and be like, see, I could actually pin you. And that's the type of shit that makes wrestling believable to a little kid and seems super cool.
As young kids, our fathers would take us to the Mount Carmel High School, which was in Chicago, all boys school, and they had a boxing
just
program.
Threaten you like you guys have to go to this all boys school if you don't straighten out.
Well, yes, they would say that. They would say that because we were all in like grade school, junior high at the time. But I remember a couple of times they load up a bus of us, the Catholic school we went to.
You went to a Catholic school. Yeah. That's why it's priests or whatever who are taking you there. This is not just a My Two Dads situation.
No. Like, just a group of all the dads that all, like, drank together. Yeah,
that's
and,
what
like,
I was picturing originally. Okay.
Yeah, no, it is that. It is that.
Okay.
Disguised as, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they'd get a bus and they'd take us all down to the fucking south side of there for fight night once a year.
That sounds great.
Where they had this big boxing tournament where we'd watch high school kids beat each other up in a boxing ring,
I'd love to, if you could, like, throw some high school kids in a cage, and I could, like, shake some money around like I was some sort of, like, Southeast Asian betting fucking shoot-fighting cage thing, nothing would make me happier.
Well, you already really enjoyed this.
Watch those teenage boys tear each other apart like chickens.
That's what it was, and the first 2 years of it, I want to say, for whatever reason, at the end of the night, they would let all the little kids get in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped doing it because the little kids just turned it into WrestleMania.
Makes a lot of sense.
And it was literally just like 30 little kids
beating the crap out of each other. So you're not going to just be like, hey, I'm a boxer.
Yeah.
Everybody likes wrestling.
Yeah, it was 30 like little kids just
going to climb up on that top rope.
Crammed in a... Well, there you go. I don't think I made it to the top rope. But I definitely, you know, it's a boxing ring, so you're talking four ropes. I want to say I made it to at least that second rope.
Okay.
And I rained an elbow drop onto some stranger.
Poor guy.
Just because he was down and just because I was on the ropes at the right time.
Appreciated Macho's elbow, too, because he always came in pretty stiff-ski with those elbow shots. Just, like, destroyed the guy.
I'm going to tell you what, man. It was one of the highlights of my life.
You could really just...
Jumping off a rope.
Break somebody's sternum real easy with that shit.
Bringing an elbow down.
Well, he said, too, if you're gonna stiff a guy, stiff him on your finish, man.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these, like, mark wrestlers who's wanting to, like, hey, let's really punch each other in the face over and over again, because then we'll earn, like, half a dozen internet dorks respect.
Yeah,
No. Fucking easy does it, man. Let's help each other out there.
And I'm going to try and really kick your head off.
I'm going to fucking murder you with my finish. Because, like, A, it makes the end of the match look good. B, it keeps my finish looking strong. And C, you fucking stiff a guy on the finish, you're out of there. He can't give you a receipt.
Nothing.
That's when you bolt, man.
Yeah.
Stiff you on that elbow and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And me and Elizabeth are riding down the road, wind in our hair.
And I did
hers more so than mine.
I did you a favor, bro. No one's going to be like, oh, I can't believe he lost. I'm going to be like, he took a hit there. He took a hit there, you know?
See why that match ended. Surprised you're still alive.
So I debated with putting that elbow drop on my list, but I had a really strong feeling that it might show up on yours, so I left myself a little room to wiggle.
Okay.
And I'm talking about a move from a guy that I've talked about many a time before.
Over and over and over.
I liked all his stuff.
Over
liked all his showing off shit.
Getting really bored with you talking about
it. Especially like that move where he'd throw his arm around your head and then he'd take that other arm and hook it under your behind your knee and then just wham bam fisherman suplex with a little bit of a bridge so you could get that pin. Talking Mr. Perfect and the Perfect Plex. You
gotta have real good execution to pull that off.
He made it look effortless.
He's a trained athlete, peak right? physical condition.
All these people had like these different kinds of muscular slams they're doing, and everybody did a suplex, but there's one guy.
Leg, though. That's more leverage. Yeah,
he was a little smarter than
how you gonna
else.
Kick out when he's got your leg trapped.
Knew a little more about the business.
You need that leg strength to kick out, man.
That's right. He took it away from you, and then when you bridge on it, shoulders are
looked real good.
Your shoulders are sunk, man.
I was convinced as a kid too that there was probably just no way to kick out of that. Like it was tied you up perfectly. You were just done for.
Until Bret Hart did at SummerSlam.
And fucking a lot of people started doing those moves and it never became, I don't think, Fisherman Suplex pinned anybody ever again after fucking Perfect stopped
now
using it.
Now every diva uses that in a match. Yeah. Kurt Hennig went
wrestling.
He went undefeated with the Perfect Plex.
Mm-hmm.
Until Bret Hart
kicked
out.
Until that Bret Hart kick out. And if there's anybody who knows enough about technical wrestling to find a way to get out of that, I guess it would be Bret Hart.
And
he's always telling me he's the best.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody, you know, it gets hyped that it was Kurt Hennig's idea to be like, Bret, I want you to go over even more.
Mm.
Like, you're going to be the guy to kick out of it.
What a guy.
Even though, in reality, it was probably just Bret being like, I'm not getting pinned by that move, Vince.
Yeah, Bret's a real fucking jackass who thinks wrestling is real.
Mr. Perfect
telling
was probably
me Hogan
like,
wasn't kicking out of that thing on house shows like left and right.
That's the rumor.
I bet that was going on.
That's what they're saying.
That's impressive if he did protect it for that long.
It's a cool move.
My number one is a move that used to be protected. Used to be just like death, instant death. Coolest finisher ever. Jake Roberts DDT. DDT is a cool name.
Yeah.
Nice knockout blow. Very believable that you could finish a match with it. Jake would snap it down, make it look like death. People would sell it like they were done.
Boom.
Nobody ever got up. Nobody ever moved. If you got hit with that DDT by Jake Roberts, it was over.
DDT. DDT.
I don't care if you're Hulk Hogan. I don't care if you're the Ultimate Warrior. When I was a kid, I was convinced Jake Roberts could pin anybody with that
DDT.
He could
snap
it
on you.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a heartbreaking end to this story because much like the Perfect Plex, more so than the Perfect Plex, much more than the Perfect Plex, this is a move that was not protected after Jake stopped wrestling. And now it's nothing. Now, especially like in the late 90s, it was real bad. You'd see like 4 or 5 DDTs every single match.
Yeah.
These little junior matches, you see a lot of like crazy jumping, spinning in the air, landing in a DDT, tornado DDT, crazy shit, and even all that wild nonsense never ends a fucking thing. If they would have just kept this move pristine, like, it's easy to take, it really does nothing, but, like, everybody was convinced it was death, and it could have been a thing. Like, you only pull it out when somebody's dying, and they ruined it. And I'm always talking so good about a man I love, throwing him praise right and left. I gotta throw a little, shade his way right now.
Who's that?
That man's double A, Arn Anderson.
Oh, no.
He's the first big guy I can remember started throwing DDTs into his matches as like a near fall thing. He had a great
this
DDT.
This move isn't that much.
Wouldn't end it much. I feel like he started it. He started the floodgates. Soon everybody was just doing it as a near fall. I always thought it was so weird when I was a kid that people could kick out of DDTs in the NWA, but they couldn't in the WWF.
Well, because nobody did it like Jake Roberts.
I just assumed it was because Southerners had harder heads.
Oh, that's a pretty good point, too.
Formerly pristine move, now ruined. I appreciated Dreamer and Raven bringing it back as a finish in the 90s, but it didn't work. People weren't buying it.
It's such a damaged move that, like, even like
no move has fallen further.
Right. Like Bobby Roode does the glorious DDT now or whatever, where it's like that lifting, jumping DDT. Yeah,
you always
got
to do a special little something if you're going to try to make a DDT your finisher.
Dean Ambrose does the Dirty Deeds, which I think is like a double underhook DDT.
Yeah, like a hammerlock DDT or something.
Fucking Mick Foley did that shit too. Mm-hmm. And it's like to the point now where like even if you have like a variant DDT like that and you're genuinely using it as a finisher and one it works, I'm still like, that's a bullshit finisher.
It usually takes them like 3 or 4 times every match to get a pin with it.
I'm like, why are you using that? That's a garbage finisher.
Such a shame. In the 1980s, if we could travel back in time, like, it was the best finisher.
Taker doesn't even use it as a finisher. He's got the derailer DDT or whatever that he does.
So many DDT variations. So many two-count kickouts. It's like a fucking tragedy.
I like that you and I gave two bastardized moves a little bit of glory that they deserve.
Bring it back. If I was a wrestler, DDT would be my finisher. Straight up DDT, and you're not kicking out of it.
As long as you weren't finishing them
if
off.
If I'm
with
not
a torture
going over,
rack.
I'm not putting the DDT on somebody. Yeah. You got to protect your fucking finishing move, guys.
Or you're putting them in the torture rack.
Yeah, I can put somebody up in the torture rack, no problem.
Bring it back.
As long as it wasn't the fat kid down the street.
Oh, no, you're not getting him up.
Get him in that $1 million
Good
dream.
Good night. No, yeah.
Good
absolutely.
Thing I know all about carotid arteries thanks to Gorilla Monsoon.
Absolutely.
He's listening to his commentary, better than going to medical school. Better.
What do you want to talk about next week?
Next week, back to speaking of Gorilla Monsoon, he's going to be co-hosting a show with a little man called Bobby the Brain Heenan, Primetime Wrestling.
The best man.
February 19th, 1988. We're going to get in it. Dig in it.
February 19th, that could be, it's either Michael Jordan or Charles Barkley's birthday.
That's a, wow.
One of them's the 17th, one of them's the 19th.
You don't even have Bing in front of you.
This I'll hash that out.
Random basketball card knowledge you have or something.
Teddy Bizquiz is the 18th, and that's how I would remember.
Impressive.
Yeah. I'm going to look at my my Fleer basketball cards.
There you go.
When I get home and
pull out the old collection.
We'll get to the answer next week on Baby Oil and Blow.